Seated. For the sermon this evening, I'll read Hosea chapter 14. Hosea chapter 14. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously that we may present the fruit of our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say again, our God, to the work of our hands. For in you, the orphan finds mercy. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely. For my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like the lily, and he will take root like the cedars of Lebanon. His shoots will sprout, and his beauty will be like the olive tree, and his fragrance like the cedars of Lebanon. Those who live in the shadows will rise again, and they will blossom like the vine. His renown will be like the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? Is it I who answer and look after you? I am like a luxuriant cypress. From me comes your fruit. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them. But transgressors will stumble in them. Pray with me. God, thank you for such a mighty word declared to us. Thank you for the clarity of your holiness. Lord, and thank you for making clear our sin. God, help us now to see who we really are in your Son, Jesus Christ. As we see the exact representation of you, where the fullness of the Godhead has been pleased to dwell. And show us now that this is the reality in our lives as we are in your Son Christ and as he is now in us. As you have washed us and you have made us clean. As you have given us new hearts to overcome. Move now, Lord, and be glorified. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was first saved, I loved John the Baptist. I rejoiced in him so much. This wild man with long hair and a full beard, wearing camel skin, standing by the river, shouting and preaching. And out in the wilderness, people were coming and they were coming and they were coming to him. To the point where I wanted to do a recording. And on my answering machine, I decided to do a quote from John the Baptist. And I hit record and I shouted, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to escape the wrath to come? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, for the axe is already at the root of the tree." And the first message on my answering machine said, "Oh, Micah, you scared your grandmother to death!" Well, here we stand, and here we are with this beautiful message of repentance. And it is not my desire to scare you to death, but it is a desire to bring a faithful message. for you who are the children of God. Not Sadducees and not Pharisees who are coming to question, who are coming to justify themselves. But here we come now to hear the true word. In accordance with Psalm 119 verse 59 where it says, "And I considered my steps, and I adjusted my feet in accordance with your testimonies." That in that reality, and in that strength, and in that hope that God produces in us, that we will come before Him on the Lord's Day in both full confidence of His grace, but also with a clear conscience, having examined ourselves, having examined His testimonies, and having turned our feet towards His path. So the call tonight simply is to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Our first step is repentance unto life is a saving grace. We see this and we understand that even the repentance that takes place in our lives, we don't take credit for it. There have been struggles as people would look and people would consider having faith in faith rather than faith in Christ. We watched the Sound of Music probably a month ago, and I was struck by how non-Christian it actually is. I was amazed. I don't know if I hadn't seen it in a long time or what has taken place. But even her song where she's singing and she says, "I have confidence in confidence." That there was her hope. There was her security. Simply that she was able to cultivate some confidence in herself, and somehow then she could be strong. Well, in us, it's not that. And it's not that we have faith in faith. But faith is tied to something. Faith is anchored to something. Rather, to someone. In life, and as I grew up, somehow my family got into water skiing. And in water skiing, you would sit in the water and you would hold on to the rope and you would put your skis up in front of you and you would yell, "Hit it," when you were ready to go. And then you would be pulled up onto the surface of the water. Well, you could sit all day long in the water simply holding a ski rope. But if that ski rope isn't tied to something, you can yell, "Hit it," and you're not going to go anywhere. Nothing is going to take place. Nothing is going to happen, no matter how much confidence you put in the ski rope. In our lives, our faith is tied to the person and the work of Christ. He accomplishes good works in us. He even accomplishes this repentance in us. Hosea 14:4. God says, "I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them." In Acts 11:18, it says, "When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, 'Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life.'" God has this thing. God works this thing. This is His thing. And He has taken that and He has placed it in you. And He has worked repentance in you so that it is manifested in the reality of your life. And this is a place of confidence for us. This is a place of hope for us. We look at our lives and we imagine that if we never have to say, I'm sorry, or if we are never rebuked, or if we are never admonished, somehow now we've arrived because we look good enough. A clearer picture is if we are living lives of repentance. Because we see then that God is working in us. Not as if we've attained some perfection that we are able to imagine or able to display to others, but there's greater hope in lives of repentance that God is working. So this is a work of God. Repentance, it's not what saves us. We see it is that God that saves us. So take courage. Because this is a work that God has done in you. And prayerfully you see this work continuing in you. Now our next step is to see sin as a split from God. For repentance to be real, for repentance to be true, a sinner needs to have a true sense of his sin. In Hosea 14:2, God says, take words with you and return to the Lord. Return to him. The idea is that you've gone somewhere else other than with him. That you were with him and there has been this descent, there has been this decline. We could even see it as a breaking up with God. That he is life and we have chosen death. In Acts 2:37 through 38, we see this picture of true repentance. Now when they heard this, this is the gospel being preached, their guilt having been announced. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. This is what the reality of our sin is meant to show in us. Or meant to create in us. A pierced heart. Now, sadly, when someone comes to me and shows me my sin, rarely is the response, a pierced heart. Oftentimes I think, you jerk, you're worse than I am. Or I come up with reasons. Or I come up with excuses. Or I can imagine someone that's worse than I am. But here we see the fruit of God's work in us. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. Repent. This idea of repentance, as has already been pointed out, we look at sin as a turning away from God. And then repentance is a turning back to Him. Not just stopping some sin. Not just changing our behavior. But seeing that we are moving in a direction of hatred for God. And then turning back to Him. We already touched on the idea in Psalm 51. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. We see that we have turned away from love for God when we sin. We have turned away from love for our neighbors. We have turned away from pure light. We have turned towards shadow. We've turned away from the life. And we have turned to death. This is why repentance is meant to look like a true sense of sin. So our next step, and this is our third step, is repent in expectation of God's mercy in Christ. In Hosea 14:4, I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I heard a man's testimony one time, and he talked about having grown up in the church, then turned away from Christ and went deep into sin. And he described it as if he was walking further and further and further and further and further and further and further away from Christ. And he said, then he felt a conviction and a part of him wanted to return. But he said he was terrified to turn around because he was terrified of how far he would be from God now if he turned. And he described it then as if God just put his hand under his chin and turned him around. And he was right there. He was right there as far as he had tried to run from God. As hard as he worked. All that he had given himself to. When repentance was given, when repentance was there, God was there to receive him. Hosea 14:4. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely. This is the reality for you. As you come to terms with your crimes, as you see them as they are, as you look at them with a grief, and as you look at them with a hatred, he's there. He's there. He will receive you when you turn to him. Now this idea of the grief and the hatred for sin, we see it in Jeremiah 31:18-19, where God says, I have surely heard Ephraim grieving. You have chastened me, and I was chastised. Like an untrained calf, bring me back that I may be restored. For you are the Lord my God, for I have turned back. I repented, and I was instructed. Some of you, as you deal with your grief for your sin, Jeremiah 31:19 will be a good one for you to cling to, a good one for you to memorize. As you deal with the continued consequences, and as you deal with the continued doubt in your life, again, for after I turned back, I repented. And after I was instructed, I smote my thigh. I was ashamed and also humiliated because I bore the reproach of my youth. In Proverbs 5, there's this statement that the author writes. He says, I was almost in utter ruin in the congregation, in the midst of the assembly. This is that place of church discipline where it's brought clear through and where our sins are announced publicly. And this is a terrifying place. It's a sad place. It's a hard place. But I cling to and I rejoice in the part of that that says, I was almost. I was almost. Being spared, being undone because of the repentance that God grants. The work that he does. And this brings us to our next step. Commit to new obedience. Ezekiel 36:31. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. It's almost an understatement there. And you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. And you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. As I've worked with children often, and we've talked about how you are saved, and I try to work through the gospel with them, and I ask, are you a sinner? And at first they say no. Yeah, well then. And you start to work through the Ten Commandments, and they say, oh, well, I guess I am a sinner. And then I ask them, how will you be spared the fires of hell? How will you keep from, in the judgment day, being snatched up off of your feet and thrown into eternal fire? And they said, well, I'll say I'm sorry. And I say, oh, and that'll do it, will it? And they'll say, oh yeah, if you really mean it, that does it. And I explain, no. No, that's not it. We see that Christ has taken that penalty for us. We touched on the idea of murder earlier. I explained last week that I talked to the mother whose son was murdered. The situation was this man, her son, and another man, they argued over a parking spot on Monday. The next day, they had the same disagreement. And they argued again till they became angry enough for one man to punch another man and knock him to the ground. And that itself, the reality of that in itself is an ugly picture, or should be to us. From there, the man that was punched to the ground scrambled to his feet and scrambled to his car, got his gun, and came back, and then proceeded to shoot the other man 7 times. He laid for 23 minutes, bleeding out. His mother was able to come and to be with him. There were friends with him as he laid bleeding. I tell you that now. Because if that's disgusting, if that's sad, if that's horrible, and it is, how do we see the Christ who died for us? How do we process that? How do we process that death? So we see what has happened. We understand the weight of our sins, the weight of our crimes. We grieve over it and we commit to new obedience. It's not just that he died. It's not just that we believe. It's not just that we're really sorry. But we see the reality that we are called to walk in Christ. Paths of love for God. Paths of love for one another. Manifested in obedience. Now, I was challenged at one point after a sermon. And I may have mentioned this before. The challenge was that I have a dark view of repentance. And I don't want it to be that. This isn't a miserable thing. But the idea and the truth that we can turn from having been facing death and shadow to turn and face Christ and be received is not a dark thing. But it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's our hope. It's us living in the light of the gospel. So producing fruit in keeping with repentance isn't this horrible thing or sad thing or dark thing. But it's bright. It's lovely. It's beautiful. It is fruit being produced in your life that you can look at and you can rejoice in the good works that God is doing in you. These fruits of repentance. And we rejoice and we look forward to coming before Him. Having examined ourselves and receiving communion, union, meeting with God in peace and in harmony, produces fruit. produce fruit in keeping with repentance, with hope and light in Christ Jesus. Pray with me. Our Father, we do thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing. Help us as we look forward to you, as we look forward to taking your supper this coming Lord's Day. God, and help us to think rightly about you and our sin of repentance and of life for you and for your name's sake. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is Psalm 51.